I'm teaching a class in a training center called Spirit Life Training. And in that particular class, we deal a lot with the mind. We deal with how it works, how we make it work for us. So there's a few aspects of the mind. I'm going to deal with one particular one tonight, but there's a few aspects of the mind. You have the memory, you have the emotions, you have the intellect and reasoning, you have will. And so there's five different parts, but all those work together to help your will, which is the decision-making process of your soul. But in teaching the class Monday night, I got home, and a lot of times when you're teaching and you begin to meditate the Word of God, God continues to talk to you. And I found, or I discovered, or just in my personal life, I discovered something I've been doing for years, didn't understand what I was doing, but God let it make sense to me, in that I finally found out how to take my intellect into the supernatural. I did not know how to do that before. And I was doing it, didn't realize I was doing it. And so, because we as Christians, a lot of times, we want to live this spiritual, supernatural life, which is destined for us, but we cannot use it without our intellect and our reasoning being involved. Isaiah 119, turn that with me, please. And I'm going to read this backwards on purpose. Isaiah 119. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. It says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall do what? Go to the land. Verse 20, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. If ye be willing and obedient. Willing and obedient to what? And watch this. If I don't know what to be willing and obedient to, then I'm sure not going to know how to refuse. But watch this. Refusing happens automatically if you don't know what you're supposed to be willing and obedient to. The Bible says the curse causeless shall not come. So, I mean, there's a reason for the curse coming. And a lot of times, ignorance is the reason why the curse comes. And let me define the word ignorance. Ignorance does not mean low-class thought process, or you ain't smart, or you ain't intelligent. Ignorance just simply means, I don't know this. Now, let me tell you something. Let me bust your bubble right now. Let me bust it for you right now. When it comes to the supernatural, we are all ignorant. And there lies the problem why we cannot take our intellect into the supernatural, because we think we know already. Verse 18. Now, God knew this already. That's why God allowed this scripture to be written like this, so that we can really understand that when you're using your reasoning and your intellect, when you're using it, you're going to have to dump it for him. Verse 18. Come now and let us what? Reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins, another word for sins in that particular instance is though your actions or your ideas or what you was going to do be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Other words, once you come and reason with God, whatever decisions you was about to make or path you was about to take, by the time God finishes with you, you're going to be taking them his way, and you're going to be going the right way. Now, here's what happens when you begin to reason with God. When you begin to reason with God, you get on a pathway, and you get on a divine destiny that allows no defeat, it cannot be denied, and it cannot be stopped. When you get on that divine pathway, you cannot be stopped, you cannot be denied, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. But we're going to have to learn to allow our intellect and our reasoning to go into the supernatural. Now, for sake of time, I don't know who's on the computer in the back. There's a few scriptures we're going to go to that we're going to read off the screen because I don't have time to go to all these scriptures. Because here it is. God said, come let us reason together, right? God said, come let us put our thoughts together. Come spend some time with me. Let's put our minds together. That's what he's saying, all right? Now, why do I want to put my mind with God? Number one, he's omniscient. Anyone who doesn't know what that fancy word omniscient means, it simply means he's all-knowing. He knows everything, past, present, and future. He knows it all. Are you seeing this? All right, go to Isaiah on the screen. Isaiah 40, the first one. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or being his counselor has taught him? Go to Job 20:21, the next one, 22. Shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judges those that are high? I'm just giving you an example of his omniscience. Romans 11:33-34. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. This is who telling us, come let us reason together. 1 Corinthians 2. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Are you seeing this? Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord, our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. So that means there's some things that God has hidden from us. I'm just trying to get you to understand the vastness of God's intelligence. The vastness of God's intelligence, how much he knows. There's verses in the Bible, we don't have to go to them, that says he began to put the stars in the sky. He numbered them, and he knows them all by name. I mean, God, when he created the earth, he put the earth at the right rotation. It spins at the right speed so we don't fly and go all over the place. So gravity can take effect. I'm trying to give you the vastness of God's intelligence. He knew how fast to make light travel. What is it, 186,000 miles per second? He knew that was what it was going to take for us to be warmed at the right time, for us to have light at the right time. I'm talking about the massness and the vastness of God's intelligence, his omnisciousness, his all-knowing. He knows the past, the present, and the future. Watch this. Job 37. Dost thou knowest when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? See, God just do things. Daniel 2:22. He revealed the deep and secret things. Wait a minute, we just read a couple of scriptures ago where it said the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But here he's saying he revealed the deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Talking about the vastness of God's intelligence. So it does us service. The best service, if we decide to line our reasoning and our intellect up with him. Right. See, here's the problem. Here's the issue with using your intellect without God being involved. Number one, you limit it. Watch this. When you need to make a decision, all you can do by yourself is go to your memory, go to other people's experiences. You can't see into the future. When you got to make a decision dealing with somebody else, you can't even know what's on their mind. You don't even know their motives. God knows all of that stuff. And here it is, God said, come let us reason together. The Bible says in 1 John, the second chapter, ye have an unction and ye know all things. What's been happening is we've been forgetting the unction and been trying to know all things. The unction precedes knowing all things, meaning I have been spending time with the Father, I've been spending time with the Holy Spirit, so now I'm prepared to know any and everything. Pride and ego is what stops our mind from being lined up with God. Because we try to go off of what we found in the scriptures. We try to go off of what we've done in the past. We make decisions sometimes based on the accumulation of our limited experiences. When here it is, think about this. Here it is. We serve a God that's telling us come reason together that have not only had his experiences, but can remember every last experience that has been experienced on the face of the earth. Throughout history. And that's who's telling us come reason with him. Are you seeing this? See, if you don't empty out your intellect, go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Watch this. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Very familiar scripture. It's familiar, but the question is, have we been doing this? Proverbs 3, verse 5. Now we're going to read this scripture first, then I'm going to back up in this chapter because the author began to say some other things that are precursors to verse 5. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own what?
Understanding.
Verse 6, in all thy what?
Ways
acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Right? Now watch this. Go back to verse 3. Chapter 3, verse. Go back to verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Mercy and truth. Another word for truth in the Old Testament. The author here had to use the word truth because the word truth also means righteousness. But the author, Solomon, couldn't use righteousness there because in the Old Testament, a lot of times people use righteousness as their own. They would say, my righteousness has done this for me, or my righteousness has did this for me, or my righteousness has thought about this for me, instead of being the truth. So there was a difference between my righteousness and the truth. In the Old Testament, they couldn't experience righteousness the way we experience it. So the author here was being very specific. He said, don't let mercy and truth get away. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. You have to internalize this. This has to become concrete. There can't be no guessing about this. It can't be I'm going to do this on Monday, but I'm going to change my mind on Tuesday. I'm going to do this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I got to do this on January, February, 365, 366 on leap. See, I have to write this on my heart. Watch this now. Now watch what it does. Souls shall thy find what? Grace. Another word for favor. And good what? Now here it is. He's saying when you bind mercy and truth about your neck, it's going to cause you to find grace. Watch what it says. In the sight of God. So in other words, when you decide not to rely on your own reasoning and your own intellect, and you say, I'm going to dump all this stuff, I'm going. All right, watch this. Now here it goes. Now let's keep reading. Watch what it says. Now trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And all thy what?
Ways
acknowledge him and what he's going to do. So here it is. When I trust in God with all my heart, meaning your heart is a combination of your spirit and your soul. So that means I'm taking everything to him. I'm not giving my heart to God and keeping my mind. I'm not giving my heart to God, then I'm going to try to figure out how to do it. When I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I lean not to my own limited understanding of what I understand about this situation. Because see, sometimes your understanding about the situation you're in ain't God understanding. And so sometimes your understanding is skewed. So I acknowledge him in all my ways. He shall direct my path. So that means I'm going to be on a pathway that is undeniable, undefeatable, and irrefutable. That means that God gonna put me in the pathway of the right people that's gonna tell me stuff I need to know, even though they might not want to tell me. Because I'm finding favor in the sight of God. And but if I already go down that path thinking I already know, then when somebody trying to talk to me and telling me what I need to do, I'm not going to hear it because my mind is already bottled up with what I think I need to be doing. Are you seeing this? The way you take your intellect into the supernatural, your reasoning into the supernatural, is you have to dump it. You must go to him as a child. Lord, I don't know nothing. Lord, can these bones live? Lord, I don't know. Thou knowest. See, but pride and ego causes us not to dump. Not to let what we know go so that God can give us something new. See, watch this. Let me get to this. I need to read this to you. There are a couple of reasons why. Let me get to it. I read it and I want to make sure you get this. We have to begin to ask God questions. We have to begin to ask God. Come on. All right. Do this with me. Just sometimes emotion sometimes gets us thinking the right way. Do this with me. Take off that spiritual facade you got. Take it off. Come on, take it off. Because when I talk about asking God questions, I'm not talking about being super spiritual. I'm talking about the very things you don't know the answer to. You need to ask God that question. God, should I take this or not? Should I take this? Lord, they gave me this. I went to the doctor today. Lord, should I take this? Lord, what should I do? Lord, should I do or should I not? What? Lord, my accountant today. My accountant said I should do this. Lord, should I do this? I'm confused, Lord. I'm not quite sure if I should do this. Lord, should I do this? what that is. That's acknowledging him. Sometimes, even when you know the right way to go, you need to pause and ask God. Because just maybe he might know a better way. Just maybe. I mean, he's the God that hung all the stars and all the names. He's the one that has no counselor. He has no instructor. Nobody taught him truth. He is truth. Nobody hung the moon but him. And he's telling us, come, let us reason together. It just may be, I mean, things that on your job, that's just people just messing with you. Take that, God, how do I deal with this person? Just maybe he might know how to deal with them. But see, that pride and ego said, Lord, I know how to handle this one. I'm going to take care of this myself. Are you seeing this? Two reasons why we won't ask God questions. Well, the author had two. Holy Spirit told me a third one. Here's the first two. The first two is, number one, because we think that we know the answer already. That's why we won't ask God. Number two, the second reason is because they don't think, or we don't think God will answer. Here's the third reason, and here's the boat most of us in. We don't have time to wait for an answer. We don't have time to wait for an answer, so we make a decision. We just, Lord, I ain't got time to wait. Bam, I know I asked you, but I ain't got time to wait. I need to make this decision. And so when we don't wait, now what we do is we jumble up or make more confused the situation we're already in. So now we just dug ourselves, you know that statement, you're digging yourself a deeper hole? Every time you dig yourself a deeper hole, you need a longer ladder to get out of it. So now, instead of you needing this size miracle, you need this size miracle. When God want to talk to you and give you this size miracle, because that's all you needed. We don't ask God because we think he's not going to answer, or because we think we already know, or because we don't have time to wait on the answer. James 1:5. I'm using all familiar scriptures. But what happens is we get super spiritual, and because we don't understand how our intellect works and how our intellect can enter into the supernatural, we tend to keep these things separated. We like to compartmentalize this stuff. I'm going to let the spiritual thing handle the spirit things, but the corner things, I'm going to handle the corner thing. And so we don't see that God is saying, what God was saying in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us think about this together. When you allow me to think with you, whatever you was about to do, if it was going the wrong direction, I'm going to change it. Because I'm going to give you a better understanding of what you need to do. James 1:5. There it is, James 1:5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom. Matter of fact, hold your finger there. Go to Hosea 4. Hosea, the fourth chapter. Table of contents is ready and available. I won't be guessing because I need you to see this. And then we'll come back to James 1:5. God gave you your intellect. He gave it to us. What you think Adam used when he started naming the animals? That was his intellect. His intellect that had been reasoning with God. God knows everything. Every problem or situation you in, God already knows the answer. He knows it right now. He ain't gonna figure it out tomorrow. He ain't gonna figure it out next week. He knows the answer right now. It says, verse 6, Isaiah 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. So here it is. Hosea is letting these people know that God is displeased that his people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge, because the priests reject knowledge. Now watch this now. This ain't your ordinary knowledge he's talking about. We know this as revelation knowledge. But watch what revelation knowledge is. When I looked up the word knowledge in the Hebrew, when I looked it up, this is what knowledge talked about. Perception, skill, discernment, understanding, and wisdom. My people are destroyed because we have no perception. We have no skills. Watch what I mean by we have no skill. I ain't talking about your occupation. I'm talking about you being able to do your occupation with skill that nobody can't get from that you can't get from nobody else but God. See, understand this. God will empower you to do things better than other people. God, how can God empower you to do things better than other people? Because he gives you inside information that everybody can't get. Why? Because you're reasoning with him. Why do you think that everywhere Joseph went, he went to the top of management? Why do you think he was always running something? Because he wasn't lacking knowledge. Watch how simple this is. Watch how simple this is. This man became second in control of the Egyptian economy because of a dream that came from God. It wasn't 4 years of college. It wasn't no doctoral thesis. It was one dream from God that caused him to be second in command. It wasn't all this deep. It was one dream. One dream. Are y'all here? Are y'all see? Do you see how simple? This man went from the jail to second in command off of one dream. Somebody else had the dream. He was able to interpret it. Wait, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What happened? He was able to do something that nobody else was able to do. What caused him to be able to do that what nobody else could do? First of all, who sent the dream? So do you think he knows how to interpret the dream? And he just happened to pick Joseph to interpret the dream, knowing that Pharaoh was going to need somebody to interpret the dream. Now, wait a minute. What if Joseph would have went and said his own interpretation of the dream because of what he'd been thinking? One dream, one interpretation took a man from the jailhouse to second in command. And all you want is a house that's paid for. I ain't trying to be second command or nothing. Lord, I just want my house paid for. I'm talking about the intelligentsia of God. I'm talking about when we dump our intelligence, our reasoning, and take on his intelligence and his reasoning. I know some things you may know how to do. Some things you may have been doing for 20 years. But have you ever took the time to stop and say, God, if you was in my shoes, how would you do this? James 1 and 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. James 1 and 5. Watch this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of who?
God.
That give it to all men liberally, freely, not hard, not trying to hide it from you, not trying to hold it back from you. Ain't trying to, I mean, God just like he put the tree in the center of the Garden of Eden. That's how his wisdom is. It's free for you to get. All you got to do is what? Ask him. Watch this. And give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not. In other words, once he said, he won't change. And it shall be given him. So here it is. The problem is, because this is where we at, we don't think we lack wisdom. Sometimes we get in situations we don't think we lack wisdom. Here's how I know we don't lack wisdom. We think sometimes we don't lack wisdom. Because even though we're in a situation we don't know what to do, we still trying to bust our brains trying to figure out how to handle it. We sitting there worrying. You know, that's a form of thinking. Worrying is thinking about something too much. Thinking about something you can't change on your own too much, that's worrying. And here it is, God say, but if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now here's how we sometimes like to ask. And this is, and now watch this. This is how you take your intellect into the supernatural. You dump it and watch what you fill it with. Because sometimes we ask God questions skewed by how we feel. We ask God questions based on how we wanted to, how we wanted to come out. Let's see if I can say it a better way. Sometimes we ask God questions because we want to do it a certain way. We ask God questions so that we can kind of direct God. That's what I was looking for. We like to ask him questions so we can direct him in a direction that we want to go. Go to Acts, the first chapter. This is how we do it. This is how we're supposed to be doing it. This is how we as children of God are supposed to be doing it. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive what?
Power.
After that the Holy Ghost is what?
Power.
And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and to all Judea and to Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth. Now when we talk about being witnesses, he wasn't talking about you going and talk for him. Witnesses means is that people are going to see a difference in your life after the power has come upon you. Things that you couldn't do before, you're now empowered to do that they can't do. And so when they find out you're able to do stuff that they can't do, now they want to know what you're doing. Go to the second chapter. And this is what he meant about the power coming upon you. Acts 2, verse 4. Last few minutes, we're going to deal with How do I take my intellect and my reasoning into the supernatural? Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to what?
Speak
with what?
Other tongues.
Now watch this. This last part is key. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Now you have to be a student of the word, because he said the Holy Ghost came on and they began to what?
Speak.
Right? They began to speak in other tongues, another language. But it says as the Spirit gave them utterance. Do you realize that utterance is also talking? So other words, watch this. Other words, when we begin to pray in our heavenly language, we are speaking, but it's really the Holy Ghost speaking. Now this is important. This is important now, because now when we're speaking in our heavenly language, we don't understand what's happening. So our mind, or let me put it like this, our reasoning and our intellect becomes unfruitful. But yet the Holy Spirit is speaking in a language that God can understand. Let me deal with a principle. Why this has to happen this way? Why does this have to happen this way? In Genesis, the first chapter, you will see how it kept saying, God said, God said, God said. Nothing can be done here in the earth realm without it first being spoken. If it ain't spoken first, it cannot happen. The problem is with our limited ability in thinking, let me use the word I really want to use, in our ignorance. Sometimes we don't know how to pray, or in our ignorance, we don't know what to say, or in our ignorance, we don't know how to behave. So if I don't know, in my ignorance, if I don't know what to say, in my ignorance, I don't know how to behave, in my ignorance, I don't know how to pray, then how is anything going to happen? Because it can't happen until it's first what? Said, spoken. Nothing can happen in earth realm unless it first said or spoken. But with my limited intelligence, sometimes I'm not saying what needs to be said. I'm not behaving how I need to behave. I'm not praying how I need to pray. So this is why when I pray in my holy language and I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit backs me up. And my words might be void of power, when the Holy Spirit speaks, he fills them. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. 1 Corinthians 14. My words may be empty, but the Holy Spirit is giving them utterance. I might be speaking vain babblings, but the Holy Spirit is there standing on the inside of me, filling those words up. It's as if when the breath leaves your mouth, the Holy Spirit fills that breath with power. Now, mind you, 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, watch this. This is how you take your intellect to the supernatural. It's how you take your intellect to the supernatural. First Corinthians 14. Verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto, but unto. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So every time I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, I'm praying in my other language. Every time I do that, I'm releasing words that may be unfruitful to you. But the Holy Spirit on the inside of me is filling those words with power. And I'm now releasing into the earth realm what needs to be said, so what I need in my life to happen. Now I have a question for you. Do you see and understand why Apostle now wants us to be accountable for our prayer life? Why we have to be accountable to somebody about our prayer life? Because if you ain't saying nothing, ain't nothing happening. And see, if you ain't saying nothing in the supernatural, ain't nothing happening in the supernatural. If you're trying to depend on your English words alone, if you're trying to depend on your English intellect alone, There are some things that Satan has set up that can't be bypassed with your intellect. But yet God, who all-knowing and is all-powerful and is everywhere, can just blow through everything or anything that Satan tried to set up for you. God knows the idea is going to take. He knows what insight is going to take. But if I'm just dependent on my limited thinking and my limited ability or my limited experiences, and I'm praying just based on that, then that means certain things that I need to release in the earth realm. Didn't it just say, you put it back up there. Put it back up there. In the spirit, he, that's lowercase. That's it, that means you. In the spirit, you are speaking mysteries. Every time you open your mouth to begin to pray in your heavenly language, you are releasing your own answer. Every time you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're releasing your own answer. So this is why Satan fights praying in the Holy Spirit so much. This is why your body don't want to pray in the Holy Ghost. This is why when it's time to pray, Lord, we got to pray again. Because every time you pray in the other language, you are releasing your own answer. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. 1 Corinthians 2. Howbeit you are speaking mysteries. Now here's how your intellect gets involved. First you dump it. God is not what I know, it's what you know. Then you begin to embrace your heavenly language. Because now, when you embrace your heavenly language and you begin to pray, the Greek word for utterance. In other words, the Greek word, the Greek word for that actually meant you are now speaking a higher dialect. The word they used was discourse. Let me use the word discourse in a sentence. Say you went to a lecture and the person was talking about the history of, I don't know, the history of filmmaking in America. And you walk out of there and you said that person gave a great discourse on the history of filmmaking in America. Other words, that person knew what they were talking about. Discourse, they put together the right words. They put together the right sentences. They put together the right ideas to help you understand. You see that? The Greek word actually means when the Holy Spirit gives you utterance, you're having the proper discourse with God. Other words, you're saying the right thing. Wait a minute now. How can I be saying the right things? I don't know what I'm saying. How can I be saying the right things? I don't even understand my own language. That's how you get your intellect into the supernatural. There was a study done. I can't think of the doctor's name. A study done between three different groups of people. It was Christians who prayed in the Holy Spirit, Catholic nuns that prayed in English. Now, I don't hear nobody talking about I'm coming against Catholic. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm just telling you what the man studied. So don't be writing me talking about Catholic. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm just telling you what the man studied. You had Christians that were praying in the Holy Spirit, Catholic nuns that were praying in English, and you had Buddhist monks making their meditation chants. And he began to monitor their brain pattern, their brain waves, their brain action. In the Christians, The frontal lobe is this thing right here, right behind your skull, right behind your forehead. The frontal lobe, where all the major activities you do, it starts in the frontal lobe. You go to make a decision, it starts right here. It says whenever the Christians were praying in the Holy Spirit, that frontal lobe became inactive. That frontal lobe became inactive. So that means, now watch this now. God can't just be, if my frontal lobe is inactive, then who is filling my words? Since my frontal lobe is inactive, that means God is now taking my limited thinking out the way, allowing me to dump my limited thinking so he can fill me with his thinking. 1 Corinthians 2, now watch. We don't, right? We begin to embrace our heavenly language. Because watch this. Notice it's a gift from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, in Acts, the second chapter, the fourth verse, it said he came upon them. It was a gift. They had to receive it. They had to accept it. It was a gift. That means they embraced it. It wasn't just a religious duty. They appreciated their language. They appreciated their ability to communicate beyond a world that they're in. Watch this. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, verse 9. Can you get up there for me? Verse 9. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, y'all not going to like this. Y'all not going to like this. But that scripture is describing our ignorance. Don't get your feelings hurt. I know we're intelligent people. I know you know how to do your job. I know you have your college degrees. I know all this. I'm not. Come on, don't go there on me. Don't go there on me getting mad at me. This scripture is simply saying, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That's simply saying it's some stuff that you don't know. So that means, oh, thank you. Let me speak for me. Let me speak for me. When it comes to the things that God has prepared for me, I don't want to know those things. I want to be ignorant of them. Here's why. Because when I lose myself, that means Ephesians 3:20 can take over. See, I don't want to go to God knowing what I need to be having. I don't want to go to God telling God, look, God, this is what I want. That's all I want. I want to be in a position that I had not seen it before. I hadn't even heard about it. I haven't even dreamed about it. But God still has it planned for me to be in my life. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace. Wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So every time I go to God, I'm dumping. I'm not going to God with my ideas. Well, God, I think it ought to happen this way. Well, God, I think it ought. No. I'm not going to try to put my ideas on God. I want God to put his ideas on me. Verse 10. What's the first word? Go back to verse 9. Look at the last part of that. Look at the last part. Just read the whole scripture. But as written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them. Remember I said that's calling out our ignorance? Go to verse 10. But. What does the word but does? All right, go back to verse 9. What has been eliminated? Are you seeing this? You see what's been eliminated. Go to verse 10. But we'll have to read the rest of it. Just hold on. But go back to verse 9. We don't even have to think about that no more. Go to verse 10. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. So you mean to tell me that when I dump, embrace my heavenly language, that God is going to reveal to me what I've been praying? Jesus said it's given to you to know the mysteries. It's not given to everybody else, but it's given to you. So watch this. Here's a great question that we all need to ask after we finish praying. Lord, what did I just say? If I'm speaking mysteries, it's going to stay a mystery until I inquire what I just said. And here's the scripture that promised me that he's going to reveal it to me. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, not just revealed, not matter of fact, watch this. He didn't just reveal verse 9 to us. It says, for the Spirit searcheth. So it's not just, go back to verse 9. He just didn't reveal that to us. Go to verse 10. He's revealing all things. Yea, the deep things of God. How, here I'm closing. How do I take my mind, my intellect, my reasoning into the supernatural? First, I dump it. Every time I go to God, I don't know nothing. Didn't Jesus say, except we come to him as a child? God, I don't know nothing. God, can these bones live? Lord, I don't know. You know. Won't you show me how it's supposed to be done? Some of y'all gonna get answers tonight. You're going to get answers tonight about certain situations that you've been fighting for 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years. You're going to get answers tonight. I'm going to need you to dunk. Tell the Lord, I don't know nothing. This is why you need to pray on a daily basis. Praying on a daily basis in the Holy Spirit, you're releasing all sorts of answers. And then when you finish praying, say, God, what did I just say? You have not. If any man lack wisdom, you could be praying in the Holy Spirit, and that afternoon, God will come up to you and say, hey, do this. But you don't realize that you released that into the atmosphere that morning. Because remember, now nothing can happen in earth's realm unless it's first. So God has found an intelligent way for us to speak answers out, and he coming back them up. Stand to your feet.